Turn, please, to Psalm chapter 23. This is a well-known psalm. I'd like to just look at it for a bit tonight. Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk in through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. The reason why this came to mind was, I guess maybe it's 1 or 2 months ago now, that our brother Stephen Parker spoke about the pathways of the Lord Jesus Christ as he was going to the cross. And it occurred to me that the Lord is still following pathways. He's still following your pathway, and he's still following my pathway. And he intervenes in our pathways, and he brings us to know him better. He brings us to those circumstances where we'll be taught certain lessons, brings us to those opportunities where we can engage in service for himself. But it's only as he empowers us and guides us that there will be blessing and outcomes from where he leads us. And so we'd like to think about the Lord as the shepherd, the one who guides us and leads us. We were hearing about his role as a shepherd and bishop of our souls, and when our brother Peter Smith was here on Sunday. And we have here a picture of one who leads, and David was reliant upon him and appreciated him as he was writing this psalm. And the things that David appreciated about the Lord, we can appreciate too in our Lord Jesus Christ. So he begins by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. David knew what it was to look after sheep. He'd spent his early years looking after sheep in the around Bethlehem. And he knew the relationship between sheep and the shepherd. The sheep were dependent upon the shepherd. The sheep looked to the shepherd to make sure that they were well fed, that they got water, that they got all of the things they needed. And the shepherd's responsibility was to make sure that the sheep had those things, and that the sheep were kept quiet, and the sheep were kept so that they would not have disputes or be agitated by anything, that they would be kept safe. So he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Here's a relationship between David, who sees himself now as one of the sheep, and he's looking at the Lord as being the shepherd. His role was physically to be the shepherd in the sheep he was looking after, but now he's appreciating the Lord as a shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So he has complete confidence that the Lord being the shepherd would supply every one of his needs. You know, we sometimes maybe get a little concerned in these days when there's inflation and higher prices and all of the difficulties that people are encountering, we might get concerned about how we're going to make things add up, how we're going to move forward in this world. Well, confidence in the Lord is step one. I shall not want. The Lord says that he will provide. And he will provide. We can have confidence in him. He says in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He is the one who leads me by the still waters. So he makes me to lie down in green pastures. That is not that he is forcing the sheep to lie down in the green pastures. He's bringing them to a place where there are green pastures, vegetation that's very rich for the sheep and nutrition. In these days in Israel, they would have had to look fairly hard in some places, in the hills of Judea, for example, to find a place where there was green pasture for the sheep. But the green pasture would indicate that it was a rich, lush pasture, and the sheep would be able to feed there, and they would have plenty. And so it is that the Lord brings us to his word that we might feed upon it. The Lord brings us to hear ministry from the word of God that we might feed upon it. And as we do, he wants us to rest upon that, not to be full of unrest and seeking novel things, seeking different things. He wants us to be satisfied with the word of God. That's what he has given us. He wants us to feed upon it and to be nourished by it. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Can we say that as we have moved through 2022? Will that be our portion in 2023, to find our nutrition in the word of God and relying upon it and rejoicing in it? It says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. The sheep would no doubt be disturbed if they had to deal with waters that were turbid and waters that were running swiftly. Often in these places in Israel, they have storms that come, and the wadis, that is the basically dry stream beds, they fill with water very quickly and are very dangerous. And 24 hours later, they're dry because the water has run through them. So he says here that he leadeth me beside the still waters. Not that many still waters to be found, actually, in an environment like that. But the shepherd knows, and he brings them to those places where they will quietly be able to drink. And the picture in verse 2, rather, is a picture of peace and quietness. A sheep who is completely satisfied and tranquil with the environment in which he's in. And that's what the Lord would have us to experience. Now, sometimes we don't have that in our lives. Sometimes we have discouragement in our lives. Sometimes we're so busy with things that we don't take the time to rely upon the Lord and to enjoy his presence. And that can be due to too much busyness without having that time to meditate upon him. He wants us to keep a time apart for him. You know, I find it sort of increasingly difficult to have sufficient time to spend quietly with the Lord. But we need to do that. We need to meditate. We need to know his presence, because praying and meditating upon his word is a source of power in our lives. And without that, we'll be powerless, and we'll not have the strength and the guidance from the Lord to give us direction and help. So we must be ready to be led by him, and ready to be in the place where we'll be in a green pasture and where he'll lead us by the still waters. Then he says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul, the soul being the well-being of the person. And if we think of people who were restored, we can think of many who have perhaps had lapses in their life, or perhaps they've had failures in their life, but the Lord has restored them. Even David had times when he had lapses in his life. Sometimes it was a severe lapse, and he had to experience punishment for what he had done from the God of heaven. But here he's rejoicing in the fact that he restoreth my soul. When I read that, I think of Peter. Peter, you'll remember, was the one who denied the Lord three times, as the Lord was there in the hall of the high priest, and he was undergoing questioning. He was the one who sat by the fire with the people who were against the Lord. He was the one who followed at a distance. He was the one who even would tell the Lord, don't go to the cross, you're not going to the cross. He would interrupt what the Lord was intending to do. And yet, when the Lord rose again from the dead, he said, tell my disciples and Peter that I go before them into Galilee. Peter was in his mind. I'm sure Peter, after those times of failure, when he went out and wept bitterly, was full of thoughts, how would the Lord ever accept me? What will the Lord say if I ever were to encounter him again? And yet the Lord had words of peace, had words of forgiveness for Peter, and Peter, 40 days later, was the one who stood up and led in the gospel preaching as the Spirit of God came upon the people and the Spirit of God came upon the disciples and many souls were saved. So the Lord is able to restore, and Peter rejoiced in this. I'm sure that David was rejoicing in this as well. He restoreth my soul. And then it says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Again, one would think of Saul. Saul was the one who held the clothes of the garments of those who stoned Stephen to death, the first martyr. He was the one who got letters from the high priest to take to Damascus, where they would arrest the Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem and put them in jail. As he was going to Damascus, there were several other men who were with him who were ready to carry out the same things. But there was also somebody else invisible that was with them. The Lord was with them. And as they reached a certain point on that journey, there was a light from heaven. There was a voice as the Lord spake. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul was brought into paths of righteousness because the Lord spoke to him. And he had confidence that when he listened to the Lord and took the Lord's guidance, he would have the instruction as to how to live for the Lord. He would have the instruction as to how he should teach the people of God. And so we have the epistles, which contain so much rich truth that for us, that are based on the fact that Paul was reached and saved, and that he began to walk in the paths of righteousness and was ready to follow the leading of the Lord. And then verse 4, he says, yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So here's David. He's looking at himself as a sheep. And he's saying, if I have to go through a valley, and there were many valleys in the Judean hills, and they were dark, and there were places where robbers would hide out. There were places where wild animals would lay in wait for a sheep going by, in order to have some prey that they might fall upon. It was, as it were, a valley of the shadow of death. And the sheep perhaps would be fearful as they went through that valley. And maybe the shepherd would be fearful as well, for he wouldn't know what would happen. But here it says that as they go through that valley, they're not going to fear evil. Why? Because the Lord is with them. For thou art with me. So the Lord, as a shepherd, is with them, ready to protect, ready to guide. He has the rod. He has a staff. The rod would perhaps be used to combat any particular attacker. The staff would be used probably, if it had a crook in it, to keep the sheep from falling. He would, the Lord would be able to use these things to protect, just as a shepherd would be able to use these instruments in order to help the sheep go through the valley, the dark valley. And so as they saw those things that the shepherd was carrying, the sheep, if they had this much intelligence, I don't know, they would know that those were things that they could have confidence in because a shepherd would use them to preserve them in those difficult situations. You know, there are times when we are brought into difficult circumstances. Maybe it's a valley of the shadow of death, or a loved one who has passed away. Maybe it's someone who is sick and near death. And those are difficult times. We might ask ourselves, why is the Lord coming in, particularly if it's a younger person, why is the Lord coming in and causing this sickness? Why is he bringing somebody into the valley of the shadow of death? Why, maybe it's ourselves going through something like that. Why is the Lord bringing me into this circumstance? Well, we can be confident that if the Lord brings us there, and if the Lord takes us in some way, he's going to bring us in a way that will provide us with comfort. He's going to be with us if we depend on him and look to him. He's going to be the one who gives us peace. And in those circumstances, even though they may be stressful, we can have comfort if we rely upon him. Verse 5 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Now, this is maybe moving away a little bit from sheep. This is maybe a little bit of an experience that David would have himself. He knew what it was to be amongst enemies. Remember how they chased him from the palace. Saul went into the hillsides with his soldiers and servants, trying to seek out David, trying to put David to death. But here David is writing, and I don't know at what stage he wrote this, whether this was before or after he'd been pursued by Saul. But he could have confidence that the Lord would look after him. And the idea of preparing a table, that's not something you would expect soldiers in the field to do. That's not something you'd expect somebody under attack to do. You'd expect them to kind of eat a few bites and be off and running in order to escape the attacker. But here, with the Lord's protection, the enemy does not attack. The enemy sits and waits while the table is prepared, while David and his men were to sit and to eat. And so the sheep in as well, as they may have enemies like wild animals or something like that, that when the Lord puts his hand upon those animals, those wild creatures, that the time will be there to prepare a table. The time will be there to enjoy the meal. The time will be there for the blessing of God in their lives. He says, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." So the sheep, we understand, they would anoint the scars and the bumps that the sheep would get and the scrapes it would have from the thistles and so forth as it was going through the brush. That's one way of looking at this. But if we think about David, Samuel came and anointed him, anointed his head so that he would be recognized as the king of Israel. He was going to be the one who would succeed Saul. And so he could rejoice in that, that the Lord had given him that assurance that he would be the king of Israel. And he says, "My cup runneth over." So the blessings that he received from the Lord, he considered them so complete that nothing more needed to be added to his cup. In fact, nothing more could be added to his cup. He had everything, the blessings that God had given him. He had everything that he would need, and he was rejoicing in it. Now, I look at my life, and maybe you look at your life, and you say, well, if only I had this, or if only I had that. If only 10 years ago I'd accumulated this or that. And we think that our cup is not full, not as full as it should be. We think that there's something missing. But you know, if we get our eyes on the Lord, we'll find that everything is complete. We have received all we need through him. And we don't need to look at our own lives and measure them against other people, measure them against the world. It's our life and how we react to it. Has the Lord blessed you? Is your cup full and running over? We sing that song, Running Over, Running Over, with the children. But here, David is saying, my cup runneth over. And as we look at the past year, can't we look at some of the blessings that the Lord has brought into our lives and focus on those and be thankful for them and rejoice in them and give him praise and honor for what he's done? Because the Lord has been good to us. We have to acknowledge that. We have to acknowledge that he has done much more than we deserve. He's given us much more than we deserve. And then as he looks at his present condition, he looks to the future. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He's saying that given that the Lord has done so much for me now, as I look towards the future, I can be confident that there will be goodness and mercy granted to me by the Lord himself. What a protection for us. What a joy for us to go forward thinking and rejoicing in the fact that the Lord has nothing but goodness and mercy that he's going to give us if we follow him and are dependent upon him. And so he makes a commitment that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David wasn't given the privilege of building a house of the Lord. He wanted to build a temple, but the Lord said he'd been a man of blood, he'd been fighting, he'd been a warrior, and he was going to give the privilege of building that temple to Solomon, David's son. But David was desirous of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. He wanted to be where the Lord was, wanted to be with the Lord's people, wanted to be where the Lord was central to the gathering. He wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. And that should be our desire, our ambition too, to be in the presence of the Lord and to be pleasing to him so that grace and mercy will be with us, so that God will show his goodness towards us, so that our lives will be a blessing to others, and our lives will be lived to the glory of God. Just thinking about the new year, as if the Lord tarries and the Lord leaves us here, is it going to be a year when we live to the glory of God? Is it going to be a year when we depend upon the Lord's goodness and mercy? Is it going to be a year when we look to the Lord for his presence in our lives, the Lord to be present and leading us day by day, giving us a consciousness of his presence with us? That can only come by being in the Word of God and finding his direction and finding his presence and finding things that we can rejoice in about our great salvation as we read the Word of God, and finding out above all things about the Lord Jesus Christ that would raise our appreciation of him. We need to do that if our cup is going to run over. We need to do that if goodness and mercy are going to be our portion in the coming year. You've got to help us to do so for his name's sake.